Here it's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Almost half of Wisconsin is covered by forests. And our state's woodlands face a wide range of threats, from invasive pests to an unstable pulp and paper industry.
A new report by the conservation group Wisconsin's Green Fire says less diverse and complex forests in our state creates new challenges for the $38 billion forest products industry here.
Ron Eckstein is chair of public lands and forestry for Wisconsin's Green Fire and one of the contributors to its new report called Wisconsin Forests at Risk. Ron, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Glad to be here.
The report says the forest products industry in particular has a really outsized role here in managing the state's forests in healthy ways. And I'm wondering, how can an industry that is primarily based on using these resources, on cutting down trees, how can that benefit forest health overall?
Well, most of our forests in the state fall into two categories. Some of them have a whole bunch of tree species like maples and basswoods that don't require much disturbance. You can let them grow, maybe thin them and so forth to produce healthy forests. But many other kinds of forests, the white pine forest, jack pine, red pine forest, the white birch forest, aspen forest, and in particular, all of our all different kinds of oak forests, they need disturbance. They all started in pre-settlement times before there was fire control. So Native Americans did a really good job of setting fires to produce blueberries, to drive game. So almost all the forests in southern Wisconsin and were oak forests that were burnt regularly, not giant fires that burnt the canopy and everything, but ground fires. And this set the stage for the development of, again, all our oak forests, white birch forests, pine forests. You fast forward to today, the forests have grown up, but we no longer have either wildfire or Native Americans burning all over the landscape. And so it takes an alternate type of activity to manage these forests. About half of our forests in the state need full sun to grow, to reproduce and grow. They're sort of like tomatoes. You can't grow them in the shade. Other forests you can. And to grow those forests in the full sun, you need to open the canopy. And the way to do that on a broad scale is with the forest products industry. So it works out fairly well. Really hand in hand, the forest products industry with landowners and loggers and truckers and mills and wildlife biologists and forest managers can work very well together to both nurture the forests we have, keep them healthy, thin forests as needed, and regenerate forests in the absence of fire.
When the mills and the lumber and the pulp and paper factories are in a vulnerable condition, they're unstable, they're changing, some are closing, what effect is that having on our forests and conservation?
Well, what happens when we don't have good markets for a variety of forest products, and forest products fall into all kinds of categories. Generally, there's saw timber type products to make lumber out of 2x4s and things like that. And then there's pulpwood market, the market for small wood, small diameter wood that makes, you know, paper products. And Wisconsin has been and is still continues to be a leader in the pulp and paper industry. And to manage our forests, you need a market for small wood. It's called a market for small wood. So to thin a maple forest, you need to take out 8-inch diameter trees in a thinning process to allow the remaining trees to grow. In our oak forest, you need to keep them thinned and take out competition where you don't want them to turn into maple or basswood. You want them to stay oak. You have to take out the small wood. The whole aspen and white birch and jack pine forests that are very beneficial to all kinds of plants and animals require almost full sun to grow. And so you need clear-cut type forests that get full sun. And so the forest products industry, what it does is it works with landowners, private landowners. Most of the forests in the state are held by private landowners, small landowners, 40, 80 acres, some big corporations. But most of them are private landowners, and they don't have the wherewithal to, by themselves, work the thin forest and do all that work. They require the logger and the forest products industry to do that for them, to keep forests healthy and regenerate forests and allow them to grow into older age classes.
Are there any ideas floating out there or through Wisconsin's Green Fire if we continue to see a shrinking or decline of the forest products industry? What alternatives are there for properly managing the woodlands in our state?
Well, the alternatives are not many. We really do need the forest products industry. They do all kinds of things. I'm a specialist in wildlife habitat, and everything from prairie chickens that need open landscape, sharp-tailed grouse populations in the Northwest that need big open, more landscapes, rough grouse, deer, all the forest game species, all the way up through American martens that require old and old growth forests and all kinds of plants and animals like older forests. We need the forest products industry to do that. The individual landowners, county forest system, state forest, national forest system, certainly don't have the staff or funding to do it on their own. So we need to have that long-term partnership between land managers, ecologists, biologists, conservationists, and loggers and mills to make this all happen. And right now, in Wisconsin, it's 100 years since the tragedy of the 1920s and Wisconsinites came together to help the forests. There are headwinds now. And that's everything. Not only the forest products industry is losing mills, closing mills, their markets are shrinking, but pests and pathogens, insect pests and pathogens, invasive things are really hard hitting our forests. Climate is changing the way forests grow and how healthy they are. Deer, large populations of deer in certain parts of the state are over-browsing young reproduction in forests. So there are many of these things that are affecting forests. And what we need today is to take a look. The purpose of the report was to put together a group of experts, people that we put together, forest managers, forest ecologists and researchers, people with forest products industry, a wildlife biologist, that was me, and the perspective of the Native American tribes, and to write this report and bring to the attention of policymakers and community leaders and investors, forest managers, put in one place kind of all the headwinds and some of the big problems they're facing our forests, and hope that those folks, especially people making decisions on policy, will come together and produce the kind of funding and staffing and research that's needed to look at these problems and come out with the best possible result at the end of the day.
We are talking about the threats to forest lands in Wisconsin. Ron Eckstein is with us, Public Lands and Forestry Chair at Wisconsin's Green Fire, and the conservation group recently published this report called Wisconsin Forests at Risk. Ron, let's go deeper now into the invasive species. The invasive emerald ash borer is found in every county in the state. Your report states that. And what tree species are at risk when you're talking about losing over 1 billion ash trees in forests?
Right. Well, ash, the group of ash trees in Wisconsin is one of the quite a few other trees that are facing pests and pathogens. But right now, certainly our ash forests, the great bulk that you see as you're driving along the highway throughout Southeast Wisconsin in particular, and it's gonna be, you know, statewide in big numbers very soon, are black ash trees, which are trees that grow in forested wetlands. But there are also upland ash trees that grow on, you know, out of the wetlands, white ash, and green ash. There are a couple other very minor ones in the far southeastern part of the state. But this imported non-native pest, the emerald ash borer, has no predators, and it's really, the trajectory right now is it's going to kill just about every ash tree in Wisconsin. And when that happens, those forested wetlands will change. Some of them will change into a shrub community rather than a forest community because the trees won't be there to bring up the water and keep it drier in these wetland areas. When we lose our ash forest, we'll lose a host of biological diversity, all kinds of beneficial insects and everything, many that live in ash, those ash forests. So it's just going to be a dramatic change. We've already lost most of our elm forests of a couple different species.
And I want to find out, what were those lessons learned from the devastation of elms? Can we apply that here in the future or with the emerald ash borer?
What it takes to attack these pests in particular, these invasive pests, they're so fast acting. They have no predators, no fungus or disease things that hit them. And the research, it takes research to find out what we can do. And it typically what happens is they overwhelm us before we are able to put together answers to that question. Mm-hmm. And that's what happening to with the emerald ash borer. You know, it's in much of the eastern United States now, and many state agencies and the federal government have been looking at solutions, and so far, none. There are some lingering ash trees that seem to be not susceptible, so there is hope for the distant future, but right now it doesn't look very good. Mm. On the horizon, there are other things in the eastern forests and as far west now as Michigan. There's the hemlock woolly adelgid, a tiny little insect pest that's completely devastating the eastern hemlock forests. Pretty much wiped out hemlock in the Appalachian Mountains, much of Pennsylvania, Tennessee. It's now in Michigan. Michigan DNR is spending $2 million a year to try to combat it, to keep it from spreading. Hmm. And we think that in the next 3, 4, 5 years, it's going to either go around the Upper Peninsula and come into Wisconsin or drift across, fly across with the wind across Lake Michigan and enter Wisconsin. So we have to be prepared with staff and budgets because we know that pest is just on our doorstep.
It's on the horizon, yeah. With that rapidly changing climate and the impacts on our forest land, you know, the report really encourages increased investment in research and product development and new incentives for forest products that can look at these long-term issues. What might this research and development look like in the forestry industry in Wisconsin? What could ultimately help boost another century of conservation through R&D?
Yes, there is a group in Wisconsin called the Council on Forestry. It's an integrated group of forest products industry. It's called the Governor's Council on Forestry. And they've been working a long time, bringing together the sawtimber industry, the pulp paper industry, the loggers, the foresters, university, state DNR, national forest, everybody they can think of to develop strategies. So they're recommending in the next budget for the state of Wisconsin a program to fund a marketing and development process to have mills upgrade, to have new mills come into the state, to look at new forest products. And so anyway, they have a big report. They've been working on it for years, but they need some funding from the state to make that happen. And that's going to help with the, you know, keeping mills operating and that part of it. The other part is funding research at the university system in Wisconsin DNR, Forest Service, to look at markets, look at pests and pathogens, look at the best possible way to address climate change when we're moving forward. And so what our report does is not, we don't have a solution for all of these big things that are happening, but our recommendation is for policymakers, community leaders, people interested in forests, that this is a call to action, that we need to do something.
Ron, before I have to let you go, I want to ask a deeply personal question, that when you find yourself out in a forest in Wisconsin, how does it make you feel? What thoughts come up in your mind? What words come to mind?
Well, you know, I know a lot of people, and most of my contacts are with ecologists and biologists, you know, through my long career with DNR. And what we can see are the problems. You know, a normal person, say a person driving through the forests of Wisconsin in their car, they drive along and they see beautiful trees, kind of a green blur as they're going along at 50, 60 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, well, there's trees. But what we know is, yeah, yes, there are trees, but there are a lot of problems here. You know, I drive to Madison and I see a beautiful oak forest with a complete understory of buckthorn shrubs. There's no way those oaks can reproduce with that in there. And there's no way that a landowner can control that buckthorn without some help, funding or something. I see, you know, dead ash trees all over the place. On my own property here, we finally had a few elm trees growing up after the last disease came through about 30 years ago in our area. And then the last couple of years ago, it came through again and killed the rest of them. So I'm always hopeful. I see good things happening in some areas, and I see, you know, neglect in some other areas. Landowners don't have the wherewithal or the knowledge to do what's needed to, say, manage their oak forests. And other places I see landowners doing the wrong thing, they're over-harvesting, high-grading, you know, cutting just the most valuable trees and leaving the wrong trees in place. So what it takes is, you know, foresters, wildlife biologists to, whenever possible, get the best possible information out to all kinds of landowners to make sure our forests stay as healthy as they possibly can be in the face of these headwinds.
Well, Ron, thank you for sharing the report, and thank you for joining us.
You bet.
Ron Eckstein is Chair of Public Lands and Forestry for Wisconsin's Green Fire. That's a nonprofit conservation organization. We've been talking about its new report highlighting the economic and environmental threats to Wisconsin forests and future ways to safeguard these lands. The report is called Wisconsin Forests at Risk.